Hello friends, we are studying international marketing subject. Today we will cover chapter 2, which is on trade institutions and policies. Trade institution is a very big block that one need to really understand, that really develops the international economy and international market. Policies are certain aspects that really gives you the guideline. Either it are prohibitive policies or they are facilitating policies. So we will look at these aspects with the learning objective that is set for us, is to understand how this international market revolution has started. We will get into various international marketing facilitating independent organizations of the world trade. We will understand our India's foreign trade policy and be aware of India's trade policy, aware of marketing strategy of India's foreign trade policy. So how are we going and marketing that our current trade policy, which is prevalent. So with that, let's understand, let's get a gist of introductory understanding. Trade, as it is defined, it involves a transfer of ownership of goods or services from one person to the entity, the other entity or person or an entity, to the other person or an entity in exchange of money. So that's not something very difficult. Exchange worthy transaction, in other words, facilitates commerce, wherein somebody who needs certain things from you and he finds that is worthwhile from you, he takes it in exchange for a money. This is how the barter trade, how the ancient civilization was working, where they were exchanging goods. The farmer having vegetables grown was exchanging pots and those kind of items from the kumbhar, as you say, like he was probably from a baniya, the grains and all. So likewise they were working, so they were self-reliant. Then came the era of industrialization, where the exchange really started happening. Industrialization has compelled, in the sense mechanization has driven the industrialization, where what happened, you produce much more than what probably required locally. Now in that case, you have to definitely look for a market for that goods in other part of your nation or other nation. So that's how the discovery of sea route has taken place, when somebody ventures out, hey, where is the other market, new market. And that's how Columbus started the sea route, and he discovered that. Consciously, there are bodies who consciously remove the barrier of trade between two countries, either world level or between really two countries. We will learn about those bodies as we move forward. So barriers removal facilitates growth of international marketing. Try to understand the industrial revolution very briefly. It's not that something that you really do not understand, but mechanization, the evolution of a steam engine led to mechanization. Mechanization has triggered the rise of industrialization. Textile industry really was responsible give that flip where textile started being produced, other industrial goods started being produced to support textile industry, etc. That led to even destabilization of a human population. So migration is to the urban or the industrialized city has started, etc. The family either is in the lower place of the worker who works in the city, and those kind of way of family resettlement has started happening. Trade across therefore started booming, because with the onset of railway introduction, the sea routes, etc., steamers, etc., the global trade, though gradually but steadily, started growing with the movement of people, availability of the routes, spread has also happened. The wideness of the industry, international marketing started happening. Factors which impacted the global trade, that we try to see an overall perspective after we studied this. So here what happens, what led to this thing? So agriculture revolution leading to increase in food production. Food production was needed for the increased population. Population growth was still very high. Population growth for a better opportunity, when population is not able to get the local employment, they started migrating. Industrialization gave a thrust to that migration. So people moved to the urban cities or industrialized cities. I told you this, textile industry needed a lot of skilled manpower. So that has started happening. People started leaving agriculture and coming to the cities to get a job in the textile mill. Various ways of doing international businesses started. Various innovations of the engines and, you know, power looms, etc., gave a rapid growth momentum. Government policies have started becoming very, very encouraging. Government realized that they cannot solely, you know, control various things. Every country is gifted with something and deprived of something. So you have to exchange. So that's why they also participated. Onset of patent laws and intellectual property rights, etc., has strengthened the innovation and encouraged opening of the market. Otherwise, you were earlier worried, you know, this will get copied and you will not be rewarded, etc. WTO, first body that you learn about, we will learn about it more, took the mandate, World Trade Organization took the mandate to become a catalyst of working together, way of working together on the international marketing. So they looked at the barriers that impacts the international marketing. They got into a conversation at a unified level or between the country to remove the barriers. Later, various countries have signed their own treaties. They've signed with treaties with even WTO between the countries, or they are onset of some, you know, another body like SAARC and ASEAN, etc. You hear them. We will see this as we move forward. That also has started formulated to look after their local, wider local interest. So they got into the treaty of its own. Another big thrust came after that is the information technology. Information technology is nothing but how you communicate using digital data. So computer came afterwards, the WWW, that is World Wide Web, has come, etc. That has really changed the lives, how we live today, how we exchange data, how we communicate with each other, how we take decisions collectively, etc. So those are the things which has really changed. Today it has gone into far and wide, where the app-based payment, ordering, e-commerce. So you see the life is continues to change with the revolution on the information technology front. I told you that digital, this thing is also changing the way the business is getting done, the way the people interact with each other, way the culture and, you know, subculture and other culture information spread through social media, etc. So those are the things which is leading to the change, which is also favoring international marketing. Another factor is under same thing is the ease of doing business. You have some facts about various countries to protect the local market, local manufacturer, local interest, have certain policies and certain restrictions created, or their bureaucracy, etc., you know, may be leading to a difficulty in doing a business in that specific country or a local area. So as a liberalization has started way back by our then Prime Minister, late Rajiv Gandhiji, and then of course, however unknowingly, what was happening is we remained a laggard. So we remained a laggard and we were like 132 positions in terms of ease of doing business. Post 2014, the government has taken totally different initiatives to see that ease of doing business is facilitated rather than obstructed, and we climbed to a level of 63rd, and still we have a long way to go. So that's the ease of doing. We have done a good work. Then the changing demographic and international trend. So let's understand this part, demographically what is happening. Population growth is happening heavily in some parts. Some part is controlled really. Some part due to this aspects, life expectancy is growth. Life expectancy is grown while the population is under control or like literally nil. All this is leading to a various dynamic change in the, not only the population number, the structure of the population. So that is the second point, how that market is, can look at the structure. So China is considered to be a overpopulated country with high number of non-working class old people. India is still an overpopulated, but large number is still in the working group, etc. So you see the structure of this thing, population being different. Different kinds of product and those things can come, but structure of the population also impacts the GDP growth. So you see, in I think 2015-16, we overtook China's GDP growth because China is having a pressure of large non-working group to sustain. Composition of, that's what the other kind of a composition that you see, the literacy rate, the skill rate, etc., the age bracket I just discussed, the earning wise, whether people, large number are into low income or large number are into middle or high middle, what is it? So that also change impacts the international trade, because then you look at those kind of a product being used in your daily life. Moving forward, the impact of industrialization. So that industrialization, when I say the whole aspect of innovation, industrialization, information technology, etc., including the policies and all, led to what? Led to start of a what you call a free market, open market. So there's a new system of trading shaped up, known as a capitalism versus the free market. So one end is a capitalist, very controlled, very privately driven economy, and the other side is a free, this thing open to competition and welcoming a self-balancing kind of an economy. Buyers and sellers, that is buyers and sellers, private business owners meet the need exchanging the product in by providing the money. So that trend, we know that we have born in the money oriented economy. So money is a sole exchange worthy proposition, while you offer value is a different thing. You offer a value of quality of product, value of fast service, but overall what you do it for money. Competition therefore is started. Goods can come from one part of the other part very easily. Government has started withdrawing in terms of prohibitory and protective mindset. So that led to opening of the competition. This led to protection, legal system strengthening, etc., also led to encouraging the entrepreneur to innovate, provide better quality, provide increased value in exchange for increased returnable price, you know. So that's what led to good quality, good export worthiness of the product. So people started accepting your goods in the other part of the world. So these are the few impacts of industrialization. Moving forward, as you see now, 2/3 of the world was accounting for only 11% of the world product. 2/3 of the world was accounting for only 11% of the world produce. So world was producing for only 11%. 2/3 of the world was accounting for only 11% of the world produced. So friends, now we enter a section wherein we will be studying almost like 10 different bodies which enable international development that leads to the international marketing growth. Each have a specific role, but this being such a thing where more you read, more you learn, but I will just give you a conceptual idea and critical information, not that point by point that I need to even explain or cover, but you should get a generic perspective of each institution. World Trade Organization is an apex body which established in 55. It emerged out of one particular agreement which was already there in place called General Agreement on Tariff and Trade. But that was an agreement which was developed but operated in its own way, wherein it was like country to country, they could take the meaning of it and, you know, operate. That's the reason why the need for a central body has come in, and that onus was passed on to the World Trade Organization. So only international organization that deals with the rules of the trade between the nations. So this is a body whose sole purpose is to how they can facilitate the business between two nations. So the goal is to help the producer of goods and services and importers of the goods and services to conduct their business without any obstacle, fairly and freely, fairly and freely. So they should get a level playing field, they should get an access to that market, and they should be allowed to operate the best interest of their business as well as the where they are and where they are doing a business. So almost as of now, 160 countries have become a member. This body is located at Geneva, Switzerland. So that's a World Trade Organization. There are various facets of it that we will quickly understand. You can see that, you know, 360% growth after the formation of the World Trade Organization has taken place from in last 19 years. Though they were formed, as you see, they were formed in 1955, but you can see the last 20 years have seen a phenomenal growth, and it is presumed that they will continue to drive 9% per annum growth in the international market. So what are the roles and deliverables? The WTO agreement, it is a agreement which a country signs with WTO, where through a trade they will facilitate trading of goods, services and various inventories, and creation of designs also. So intellectual properties also will be facilitated smoothly, freely and fairly, as it is said. It is a forum of government where trade agreements are negotiated. It's a government level. So they work with the government of the country, and they observe and they try and pinpoint to the government that this is leading to a restrictive practice. So can we do something to make it a workable practice? So that's how they go about. Disputes can be resolved. So, okay, while you work on a policy and you assume that people follow, there are chances of dispute. So they have a very rugged dispute resolution system. We will probably take a very generic view. Administration of the whole agreement. So countries after entering, are they adhering to it or not adhering, etc. So those aspects that they look into it. Monitoring the national trade policies. So various countries often come out with various policies during budgets and all, if you have noticed. They scrutinize that to be helping, facilitating or obstructing the international business. Technical assistance and training is also provided to the government and the requisite bodies across various countries, and cooperation with other international organizations. So like we will study the other international organizations, they facilitate a kind of a, they provide a platform where the cooperation can be established with them. So that's the basic role and deliverables with which it came up. What kind of a power? They have a power to promote and regulate international trade at a global level. So they are developed for that purpose. So it has a lot of power interested through an agreement sign which country does it. So once you sign it, you are bound by it, so that it gives a power to them to monitor and regulate you. WTO has a mechanism to achieve a positive solution to any dispute. So dispute settlement is a very rugged process. Book has a comprehensive idea. I personally feel that you should get a generic idea, sufficient enough. Here I will just try and touch base very briefly. The member country which do not comply with the disputed verdict, WTO can sanction, put various violation based sanctions, making trading with that country by that country's exporter difficult. That will severely expected to impact their economy. So that's what. So dispute resolution system, as I told you, we'll discuss a little. So this is a slide where it comes in out here. WTO has time and again brought out various redressals, and their redressal system is considered to be far more independent and rugged. Broad structural view, this thing is the member themselves drives the dispute resolution. Stage one is a consultation stage when any country lodges a dispute. So first 60 days is a consultation stage where other member countries, appointed or deputed, this thing will get into a kind of allowing a natural process of discussion based resolution of the dispute. If that doesn't happen, of course, an expert is allocated who will try to play that moderator role. But if that doesn't happen, it moves to the stage two. Well, panel is formed. Now the formal panel is formed, and dispute resolution within 1 year time, is worked out. You can see the exhibits which is given in the book. So that gives you the complete dispute resolution process. But the panel will independently communicate, connect with the respective countries to bring out the fallacies, bring out the impact, etc., and try to arrive at an amicable solution. Certain preferential approach is also given. So in vaulted agreement of a trade, you are allowed to give certain preferential treatment to certain nation, but subject to certain condition. So this is considered really a favorable move when it was introduced. Treating more favorably certain country, you give a significance to certain country where you see a lot of opportunity. Okay, A non-reciprocatory trade agreement is signed off. Extra time to fulfill their commitment is given. So here, what it is trying to give you an idea is this slide is about the WTO consists of developed country or like Europe, you know, US, France, etc. They are emerging markets or a developing country like India, Asia, Asian countries, etc. or underdeveloped country like the Africans in those areas are considered still as underdeveloped countries. Now, what WTO does is they want even the developing economy or underdeveloped economy to come forward and be a part of it. Now, how they facilitate, they cannot work as per the rules and whims and fancy or expectation of only developed country. So for which there are certain favorable, this thing has been given. Okay, so they treat the developing market favorably. They look at their issues and all a little more with an interest. They give them a non-reciprocatory approach. Yani. So it's like, you know, if you give certain things, you have to take certain things. No. They will understand their challenges and they will try to develop a solution which is not necessarily a reciprocative, like it will be an independent solution. Of course, time given to the developing country is more, greater market access to tap the trade opportunity. The country is given a far more access to the developed market or, you know, other market easily. They are given a protection against exploitation. So if somebody resorts to dumping or some other way of exploitation, these developing countries are protected. Once you draw their attention, they provide you even legal expert counsel, so to fight your case with the other disputing countries, etc. So that's a kind of an orientation towards a developing country. Very important aspects of a WTO agreement is a concept called most favored nation allocation, status allocation. So country member, when they realizes that, you know, certain country is of significance to them and therefore they need to work closely and therefore you need to reciprocate certain things with them, as a result you can designate other country as a most favored nation. Of course, this may not be the WTO member, the country that you designate may not be the WTO member. While you do that, but you can declare that company as a most favored nation. A member has to thus give the so while you do that recognition, you probably offer certain lucrative tariffs or lucrative incentive. Only binding is same thing you should offer to the other member. Okay, so same thing. So India, when India has a MFN status with Pakistan, so certain things that they like to have from India. India likes to have, say, sugar more from Pakistan. Now they have decided that by certain particular lower, this thing will be applicable. Now that same, this thing has to be offered to the other member nation. Okay, so that is one binding this thing. But you know that, you know, when you do that, the chances that other nation also equally either your ability to buy may not be there. So you can do it, but you continue to do more business with the MFN status country. Okay. Another feature of WTO is a TRIPS, as this called. This TRIPS stands for, it's an acronym. It stands for trade related aspects of intellectual property right. Now, intellectual property right is to do with the very non-tangible aspects, yani, to do with the intelligence, to do with the way things are developed, etc. And you protect that, you know, the originator of that. So that's what intellectual property right. It's an international agreement defining minimum standards, minimum standards for many forms of IP. Many forms of IP, it could be in the form of music, it could be in the form of programs, etc. So those intellectual property rights, there are various forms that comes under IP Act is also been covered. It's constantly gets changed, evolved during Uruguay round. And so, okay, there's more information about that is available. This round happened in 1994. It was a round of the General Agreement on Trade and Tariff and Trade, GATT round, and later improved when Doha Declaration has taken place. Again, more information is given in the book. Okay, where the IP, TRIP scope is included, more items were included as an IP. So that's a TRIP. Another is a TRIMS, stands for the trade related investment measures. So it's a more focus on investment that has been made in the trade. So it's an international agreement defining the rules that will be applied to the domestic regulation of country applies to foreign investor. So you see, every country probably needs some investment. Investment can come from the local people or foreign people. Now this rule TREEM defines when an investment is happening from the foreign individuals. This is a standard rules and regulation that is applicable to the foreign investors. It often is a part of the industrial policy. So this definitely becomes a part of a policy of that country. They have to keep in mind that this is covered in their industrial, international business policy. So that is what they have to keep in mind. So this TREEM governs basically the investment part by the foreign investor in a particular country. Okay, it came to force before WTO under GATT regime. So again, before WTO, there was a body agreement or a regime called General Agreement of Trade and Tariff, this thing, which was there. This implementation continued under even WTO. One more feature of World Trade Organization is TPR. This stands for Trade Policy Review. Trade policy review for what? Trade policy review of countries. This is done by WTO themselves. WTO examines the member countries, what is their trade policies, and through a regular meeting that they conduct, but its impact on business, international marketing. So whether it is hindering or whether it is facilitating, is there anything that is creating a bottleneck? So significant development that may have an impact on the global trading systems are monitored. So companies countries keep coming with their own policies, need for documentation, standards change, etc. So that is what they study. Will it have kind of any significant impact on the doing business? Review period varies, of course. Review period varies depending on country size and share in the world body, world business, international business. So generally, review takes place every 4 years. They comprehensively review the country's economic policy, various trade policies, etc., tariff structures, etc., and then bring it out, enlighten to them or bring it to the light that these are the policy that is emerging as an obstructive policy, hindrance. Okay, structured processes, of course, followed where they get into. They ask other member countries also, raise concerns of various aspects of the trade and tariff, this thing. So it's a structured approach through which they gather that idea of obstructive nature of any trade policy, tariffs, etc. So that's the review of trade policy. So that is TPR, trade policy review. Thank you very much.